Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Friday afternoons always feel good, especially when we've got some sunshine. This is Chicago's Afternoon News. I'm Lisa Dent. Thanks for joining us. Mixed messaging. That was the complaint from the American Medical Association on changing federal guidelines for isolation after a positive COVID-19 test. We've got Dr. Kevin Most on the phone. He's going to join us next. But it was Dr. Rochelle Walensky, the head of the CDC, clarifying the agency's recommendations, speaking to Good Morning America.
I've read the AMA statement, and I have deep respect for the AMA, but I will also say we've heard a lot of support for ongoing guidance from public health partners, from other clinical and laboratory partners as well. 5 days after your symptoms, the vast majority of your contagiousness is really behind you. And what we say at day five then is, are your symptoms gone? Are you feeling better? Is your cough gone, sore throat gone? And if so, then it is safe to go out if you are wearing a mask.
It's overwhelming. This is why we have COVID fatigue, but obviously things do change on a day by day, sometimes a moment by moment basis. On the phone, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Kevin Most. How are you this afternoon?
Lisa, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you. So, people get frustrated. They get tired because, they're just not ready for all the changes, but information is being updated moment by moment, correct?
It really is. And, you know, people are going to look back at this historically and say, from a communications and media point of view, and I don't take media the wrong way, from a communications point of view, boy, have we dropped the ball numerous times. You know, CDC will say something, Dr. Fauci will say something, and then we'll have to retract because we learned something new or something changes. And, you know, it's a novel virus, and it's tough to say, we're still learning about this, and people say, wait, come on, you have to know more than this. It's been around for 2 years now.
I know, so there's a lot of expectations put on you guys. The Moderna CEO came out today and said that people may need a fourth shot of the coronavirus vaccine next fall, but said that we'll probably have enough protection from our booster to get us through the winter. What is your opinion on that?
Yeah, you know, I think if people get their boosters at the appropriate time and Omicron continues on the track that it's going on right now, then I think he's probably right, that this will almost become like a flu shot for us in the fall. We really, if you look at Omicron, and we are going to see some tough days here in these next few weeks where the numbers are still just going up dramatically. But look what's happened in New York already. It's kind of peaked and started to come down. Look what's happened in South Africa, the drastic decrease. So this is a virus that is just blowing through so quickly that certainly for us to say, well, let's make a vaccine for Omicron, it's like, are you kidding? By the time we put it in a jar, it's going to be gone. So that's probably one of the biggest concerns we have. And the Moderna CEO is saying, hey, we're going to need to remind our immune system 6 months from now, 7 months from now, about what to look for as we start to see another onslaught.
Hey, Doc, it's Steve. You know, I'm always trying to find the optimistic view here. And we've talked about that this could be how this pandemic ends, because it burns through us so quickly, it's not as deadly, and then we've built up the immunity. Are you still seeing that as the possibility?
You know, Steve, I am, and I guess I'll go out on a limb. I am. I'm really looking at this in a very optimistic way come mid-February, early March. You know, if you look at the rate that this is going right now, and certainly you're seeing hospitalizations go up, you're seeing still a lot of illness. But the people that have fully been vaccinated and boosted, when they get it, they're getting it mild to moderately and not too bad. We're still seeing Delta. That's what's in the hospitals right now. But if this can take over as the dominant strain, all of a sudden the hospitals won't be as stressed, and we're all going to be exposed to it. Once I've been exposed to it, I'm not afraid that I'm going to get exposed to it again in a month. So certainly, I still think that this could be the best thing that happened to us, and I'll either be proved right or wrong here in, I bet you, 6 weeks.
Well, let's say right, Doc. Let's just believe right.
Yeah, that's what we hope. Dr. Robert Murphy said to John Williams that he didn't believe it was safe to open schools and just to write off January until we get past this breakout. What's your opinion? Is it safe for kids to be in school in Chicago?
You know, yeah, Dr. Murphy and I probably have a disagreement about this. I still think it is safe for kids to be in school. Again, we have to remember that. People are going to say, well, how can he say that? Hospitalizations are going up for kids with this. If you look at hospitalizations at this time of the year, certainly we're going to see them go up with RSV, with influenza for some kids. One of the things we have to realize, we've lost a year with these kids. So the social aspects, the in-person learning, the learning capability of a teacher. The teachers are upset because of their exposure, and yet I would say, teachers, if you've been vaccinated and boosted, you're as safe as you are during influenza season. So I struggle with the argument, and I really look out for the kids to say, we have to make sure that these kids are being taught. Yeah. Now, that being said, I'm putting some onus back onto the parents as well, saying, are your children vaccinated, those that can be?
Well, and I know we're coming up on a break, but that's another thing Dr. Murphy said this morning, that many, if not most, of the children who are hospitalized come from unvaccinated homes. Is that your understanding?
Yep. Yep, it goes through the home quickly. There's no, the immune system hasn't been built up yet. Either the parents now have an access point to give it to the child now has an access point to give it back to the parent, and if any of them are immunocompromised at all, we're certainly seeing those are the ones that are going to be hospitalized.
I've got a question because I had a great idea today. It's about creating a mask that changes colors. So think about that for a moment, Doc. Maybe a new research project for Northwestern. And your questions, yeah, you can jump on the radio. Talk to Dr. Kevin Most from Northwestern coming up next. Lots of calls and text messages coming in. Thank you for joining us for Chicago's Afternoon News. This is 720 WGN. Dr. Kevin Most is on the phone. He is the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine's Central DuPage Hospital. And this morning when I was putting on my mask to leave, I was thinking about the buildings I've been in where when your visitor pass expires, the tag changes colors. And now BMW unveiled a car at CES yesterday where the car can actually change colors. Do you know of any research that would create a mask or is looking at masks that would change colors, Doc, when we know we've been exposed or when the mask needs to be tossed out?
Lisa, brilliant, great idea. You should be at MIT where they're already working on this.
So I figured.
MIT started a program about 6 months ago, and I really haven't heard much about it recently, where they would have a piece of paper that you actually attached to your mask, which would turn positive if you were exposed or if you were breathing out. So if you were breathing out virus particles, it would interact with that piece of paper and would change color. Then they also had ones that you would wear as a healthcare provider so that if you were exposed to someone and you didn't know it, it would change color. So yeah, brilliant minds, think alike. You should probably apply for a faculty position at MIT because that's exactly what they're looking at.
I never come up with new ideas. I just get them before they hit the public, apparently. From 630, had first COVID in December 2020, had the variant in December 2021. I'm not vaccinated. I'm 56. Both times was a minor inconvenience. Please explain why I'm not dead.
You know what? That individual has a great immune system. So getting it into, and I don't know how old the person is.
56.
So they're still young. At that age, you still have a good immune system. It is declining. But to have it in 2020, you probably had no comorbidities, which was great. And you actually had the alpha variant at that time. Now you come around, and in 2021, did you get the Delta variant and really did well, which is great. So your immune system is very good. Now, you want to be totally protected? I would say get vaccinated, because now you'll have the natural immunity along with the vaccine immunity, and that's where we're seeing people do the best.
Dr. Kevin Most is with us. He's the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. And on line four is Jan from Lyle. Lyle, Jan, you got a question about getting your booster?
No, I have a question for my son.
Okay.
Getting a booster. He just tested negative for COVID last week. He got two double negatives. He has not had a booster yet. What's the time frame that he can get a booster now?
So when did he get his second shot? Or if it's Johnson & Johnson, 2 months after he got the Johnson & Johnson, if he was a single shot. If he was the double shot Moderna or Pfizer, it's either 5 months or 6 months, and it really, they're going to push it down to 5 months for both. So it'd be 5 months after that second. So him having a double negative means that he thought he might have had some symptoms. So I certainly would say in the back of his mind, he's concerned. So if he's up for it, if he has had second shot 5 months ago, to go in line and get or to call the Walgreens or CVS and schedule that booster.
So he can wind up scheduling it now.
Absolutely. Yep. Well, when was his second shot? If he just got his second shot, say in November, you know, but if he got his second shot like most of us did, you know, sometime in the summer, you know, he certainly is up for his booster and can get that at any time.
Unfortunately, he got the J&J one shot.
Oh, J&J one shot. And yeah. So 2 months later, he can get a booster. And his booster should either be Moderna or Pfizer. So he won't get another J&J. He'll get a Moderna or Pfizer for his booster.
Thank you for calling, okay. Jan. We appreciate it, and we wish your son all the best.
Thank you. Bye.
This is an interesting question. I have a question for Dr. Most. Watching the football game last weekend in Green Bay, I can't understand why the players wearing short sleeves and their fans without shirts don't get frostbite. This is a serious question from someone who used to lead winter backpacking trips in northern Minnesota. I've often wondered that as well.
Yeah, it's actually a really good point. And if you look at it and how long they're out there and how long they're exposed, there's two things there. One is they're very active. So the vascular system continues to push blood out to their skin. So you can see they're actually sweating still, and they're actually giving off heat. And then you'll notice as soon as they go to the sideline, they have the big heaters, they put those coats on. But certainly the risk as you get colder and colder is certainly still there. But they're really actually pretty good about watching out for that and being very careful. And they're on the field for sometimes a very short period of time around the exposure time. But with the amount of activity that they're doing, their blood flow to their digits and to their face is good enough to protect them.
Interesting. Tim, you've got a 2-year-old granddaughter who tested positive for COVID.
Yes. So she's 2 years old, and she just tested positive a couple of days ago. And, you know, there's no vaccine for a 2-year-old. And it seems like she just has, like, a cold. But I'm, you know, obviously pretty concerned because she doesn't have any vaccine. Well, Dr. Most, first of all, thank you for taking questions like this. And, you know, what can you tell us about children that are too young to get the vaccine and yet they test positive?
Yeah, you know, so obviously that is our concern as we look at this young, there's under the age of 5 hasn't, you know, there's no vaccine for them yet. If we look at the very young, the newborn, you know, that newborn that is being breastfed is at least getting some immunity from the mother in the breast milk. Then you've got this gap kind of time where it's a year, year and a half, 2 years up to 5 when really they're building their own immune system. It used to be that they were exposed to a lot of things. They'd go to play dates. They would go and they'd get exposed to a lot of different colds and viruses, and their immune system was turned on. Now, during this time, we have shut those down. So these kids' immune systems have not been exposed to much of anything. So really, those are the ones that we're the most concerned about and watching closely. Some of them, hopefully like your granddaughter, are going to have an inconvenience of a runny nose and a cold and a cough, but they're really going to do well. But pediatricians will tell you, watch that child very closely, watch their respiratory rate, watch their breathing. If they get labored breathing, make sure they get in. The other beauty of it, what's going on right now, is potentially and most likely she has Omicron, which is just in the upper respiratory portion of it, so not getting into their lungs, and kids really do well with the upper respiratory, with the exception of trying to clear the secretions. So try to help them blow their nose, right? Try that for a 2-year-old. But really what you're going to want to do is help them clear the secretions, keep their fluids up as much as they can, let them drink whatever they want, and try to keep their nose as clean as possible.
Tim, I hope that baby girl gets well soon.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Have a good day. We're talking to Dr. Kevin Most. He is the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. And Scott has a question. Scott, you wanted to talk about COVID and the ventilation system?
Well, yeah. My question is, I know there was a lot of talk about, you know, the schools and things, and they were saying that there is not adequate ventilation. Is there a test to say what is adequate or not when it comes to COVID?
No, Scott, you know, really what we look at is, if you remember when we first started, we talked about how far we should be distance away from individuals. And that is because how far the virus will carry when people talk or sneeze or cough. We say how safe we are outside is because of air turnovers, and that's why airplanes are so safe. Certainly in schools, you know, if the ventilation system is not turning over the air in the rooms quickly, then, you know, we would be a little bit concerned, especially when it's as cold as it is now, because because I'll tell you, the engineers are saying, I can't turn over that air quick enough and still keep the rooms warm. That's why we're asking teachers to make sure that they distance appropriately, wash hands, keep everything else they can to do the mitigation. So certainly, you know, the days when we could be outside and open windows, we know that more fresh air, more circulating air decreases the amount of viral particles in the air and therefore decreases our exposure. So certainly some schools are going to be concerned about that, and that would be use all the other mitigation factors that you can and tell your engineers to turn, you know, heat exchangers up as much as they possibly can.
Thank you for calling, Scott. I appreciate it. Let's jump over to Barb real quick before we let you go, Doc. Barb, what did you want to ask Dr. Kevin most?
Hi, is that me?
That's you, honey.
Oh, okay. hi. Dr. Most, my daughter, she's an audiologist in Boston, and she's had COVID for over a year and still has no taste and smell back. You know, she's fully vaccinated and boosted. Are there any studies being done to help the people who are long haulers who have this lack of taste and smell?
Yes, and she lives in Boston. I would imagine Mass General is doing something very similar to what Northwestern is. So Northwestern is looking at the long haulers, and the long haulers either have neurologic symptoms, some are cognitive, some are the taste and smell, some have cardiology where it's heart issues, and some have pulmonary issues. So at Northwestern Medicine, we have long hauler clinics in each of these, led by Dr. Charlie Davidson, one of the foremost authorities in cardiology in Chicago. And we're looking, and not only are we doing clinical studies to say there's some medications we're trying for some of these, we're actually monitoring, we're figuring out exactly what impacted and how this did so that in the future we can stop it. Loss of taste and smell, unique for coronavirus, and unfortunately, some of these people are going 2-3 years now, and they haven't gotten that 2.5 years now, and they haven't gotten that taste or smell back. So the olfactory nerve was impacted somehow, and now they're trying to say, how can we regenerate that? How can we reteach the body and the brain what taste and smell actually is? So I would ask her to look at Mass General, because I would imagine they're doing something similar to what we're doing here at Northwestern.
Thank you for calling.
Thank
we
you.
Appreciate it. And, Doctor, before I let you go real quick, any chance, because people are asking, that Northwestern will start giving booster shots at their immediate care clinics?
You know, we're really are working on that right now. We wanted to push it into the community, to the CVSs and the Walgreens, and now we're really focusing on testing in those immediate care centers, but we certainly are going to look at it. The difficult thing is the confusion portion of it. Which ones do I get? Who do I get? And it really, it's one where we're trying to figure out the logistics of it and really making it more apparent or more easy for people to go to CVS and Walgreens, but certainly something we're looking at right now.
Many thanks for joining Chicago's Afternoon News.
You got it. Take care, you guys. We'll talk to you soon.